I'd like to welcome all of you here this morning, the first Sunday of October, and especially any visitors that we may have here today. We welcome you today and hope you'll come back and be with us often. Start off this morning service. I'm asking if for any thanksgivings and prayer concerns. Do we have any hands? Okay. Dave Barker. Okay. I have one on card up here. This is from concerning Janet Ellis, Connie's daughter. She had successful kidney transplant on Thursday. She's been waiting 3 years for this. All has gone well, but she still needs a lot of prayers and she's in a lot of pain. Announcements. What do we got? I have a bunch. We still need nursery workers. Last week we had 11 kids in the nursery. Sign-ups are on the clipboards. United Methodist Women's Meeting Thursday at 2 o'clock at Marilyn Stolliker's. Also, I need more mentors and subs needed for Kids Club on Wednesday afternoons. Ken and Carol Dorman, nephew Jeremy Brock, going to have bone marrow transplant this week. Please keep him in our prayers. October 14th at 3 o'clock at the Marlette United Methodist Church will be a concert featuring the Howard family. Food sign-up sheet for the Swiss steak dinner has been filled. Thank you so much. If anyone would still like to give a monetary donation for meat and supplies, you may see Karen Downing or mark your envelope, donation Swiss steak dinner, and put it in the offering plate. If you'd like to help, please see Karen, and she will be happy to sign you up, or she will find you. She knows where everybody is. More announcements. The listening session with Bishop Bard, that's in Lake Orion, isn't it? It's Tuesday at 7 o'clock. There will be meeting here in the church parking lot and leaving at 5 if you're interested to go. There's a new member class. It's going to be Wednesday, October 10th at 1 o'clock. Anybody interested in becoming a member of this church, please sign up and go to this. Pastor Sue will be teaching the class. The Red Cross Blood Drive will be held at Countryside Church on Thursday, October 18th. Sign-up sheets for cookies, juice, and helpers is circulated today and next Sunday. I need a lot of volunteers. The Charge Conference has been scheduled for Sunday, October 21st, 5 o'clock, right here where you're sitting. All are welcome. Please come. This is your church. Come to the conference. The East Winds District Annual Conference will take place on Sunday, October 14th. That's next Sunday, from 3 to 6 at Port Huron, First United Methodist Church. Attendance is required by all clergy, leadership, and laity leaders. The annual Fall Harvest Dinner is scheduled for November 2nd. That's on a Friday evening. We are accepting donations for the dinner, and we are especially in need of buttercup squash. If you can help out, contact Russ Shoemaker or the church office. Fellowship today is birthday potluck. Celebrating the birthdays in October will be in Wesley Hall today after the service. And also, your October newsletters are in the back. If you need one, get one when you leave today. Quite a few announcements. I think that brings us to the end of them. I think I got them all. So we'll start our worship service today. Oh, yeah. Forgot those. Do we have any birthdays?
Yeah.
What's his name? Jimmy's birthday.
Jimmy and Dee.
Dee.
Anybody else?
I saw it in the paper.
And we've got Pat over here. Anybody else? All right.
We sing happy birthday. Are there any anniversaries? Oh. So when's your anniversary? Tuesday? Let's sing happy anniversary. Katie. Open up our service now, if you would please stand, and if able, and sing the songs page 2224 two times through, Make Us One. Our next song is 2227, We Are the Body of Christ.
Thank you.
call to worship this morning. If the congregation would please read the small or the bold print after I read the smaller print. Come, let us worship God, who calls us to have faith in Him with the trust of a little child. You remain standing, we'll sing the hymn on page 277, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
To have the children come up for a message. We got kind of low attendance today. We don't have that many. Come on up. You girls want to come up? Come on up. We're all children of God, no matter what our age. I know you're getting up there in age. Hi, how are you? You gonna have a birthday this week? Are you gonna have a birthday? All right. How's Johnny today? You good? All right. How about you girls? You're good? Have a good week? Oh, here come a few more. Thanks, Suzanne. Hi, Claire. Hi, Mason. How are you guys? Doing good? All right. Love those suckers. Exactly. Hey, can you fit there? I couldn't fit through there. You're going to fit through there? Well, I'm going to read you something this morning. Let's see if I can find it. Maybe you can help me, Johnny. Think you can help me read this? Something wrong? What's wrong with this? Why don't you girls? You think you can help me read this? What's wrong with it? It's upside down. Oh, is that why I couldn't read it? It's upside down, Mason. Silly. So Jesus was talking with his disciples, and the disciples had people that were bringing children, little children like you guys, little children, and they were coming to Jesus. And you know what the disciples wanted to do? Scripture says rebuke them. That's a big word, isn't it? Do you know what rebuke means? Do you have any idea? It's okay if you don't. It's a big word. It's to say they don't want them. They rebuke them. They don't want them. The disciples said the children need to go away. Bye. The children need to go away. Do you think the children need to go away, Mason? No, I don't either. So this is what Jesus said. Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Did you know God loves you? Yeah, do you know God loves you? Do you know God loves you? He does. God loves you. Jesus loves you, right, Mason? Yeah. And so we want to make sure in our church that the children are always welcomed here, right? We always want you to come up front. We want you to come to Sunday school, and we want you to be a part of the church, right? Yes, we're excited because that's what Jesus said. This morning I went to Deckerville to church, and because I preach over there once a month. And there was one young girl, and she wanted to take up the offering. And you know what? Adults got up there instead. And so I let them know after this scripture that Christine could come up and do the offering because she wanted to serve God. You guys, acolyte, and you're serving God. And when you guys get a little bit older, you can do that too. And you will be able to take up offering. You're old enough to do that. And so, adults, we do not want to stop the children from serving our Lord in worship, right? Yep. All right, let's pray, and then you can have your bulletins. You want to pray in the nursery? Well, you can pray in the nursery too, but can I pray too? Bless your heart, Claire. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the children of all ages. We ask that you guide and lead them. May they continue to be strong and serve you, learn, and be guided by you. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, here's your bulletins, guys. All right, you guys get to go back in the nursery. The others get to stay in church, okay, because they're a little bit older. There you go. Okay. There's crayons out there, too, if you want crayons in the back. Yes. And your nursery's going to the nursery. Okay, thank you, Suzanne. You guys want to go, too? All right, thanks, Jimmy. I love children. That's great. I wish I had that energy this morning. Let's pray. Lord, you have heard the people that we have lifted this morning, the joys of Janet having a kidney transplant, and others who are in need as they go before doctors and nurses and caregivers. We pray, Lord, that you will lead and give discernment and guidance to all who need it, to bring healing and comfort and strength, to be able to lead our church in a way that we can follow you and be strengthened, encouraged, obedient, and faithful in our walk and our journey. Lord God, we not only lift up this church, but we lift up our community, churches in our community. We lift up, as today is World Communion, the whole world, that as we all partake in the Holy Sacrament of Communion, that we remember what you have done for us, giving us your Son, Jesus Christ, who was beaten, who has died, buried, and rose again, to give us freedom, forgiveness, mercy, and grace, and especially hope and eternal life. We ask you, Lord, that you nudge those that want to become members of our church, that you nudge someone else out there that is in need of Jesus Christ, who may not know him as Lord and Savior, that we can be your hands and feet and bring salvation to them. And as the rescue mission opens tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon, we pray, Lord, for those men that are coming who are homeless and need a place to stay, that they will be fed and nourished. We can also provide spiritual enrichment to them. May you use us and fill us, and may we continue to honor you in the name of Jesus the Christ, who taught us together to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And we have a change in the bulletin that the choir is now going to sing. I don't have my book with me. Break the Bread. The choir leaves. I encourage you to turn in your scriptures to the Gospel of Mark. I will be reading chapter 10, verses 2 to 16. Yep. There we go. Hear these words. Some Pharisees came and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" "What did Moses command you?" Jesus replied. They said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law," Jesus replied. "But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." When they were in the house again, the disciples asked Jesus about this, and he answered, "Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another man, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord. And now may there be less and less of me and more of you. These things I pray. Amen. I'm a preacher who follows lectionary. If you don't know what lectionary is, it's from our United Methodist Church, but also the Lutherans and Catholics and other versions, other churches, some follow the lectionary. And so we're giving four different scriptures to preach on, and we have our choice. So I usually use an Old Testament, usually a psalm, and then I try to follow whatever book that we are following. So this week, we come in Mark, and it's on divorce. Well, I have to tell you, I really argued with God all week. I do not want to preach this, Lord. And then I had to preach it twice because I had to go to Deckerville this morning. So as I was telling them this morning as well, you know, it's not a sermon that I like to preach. A, I'm divorced. Who wants to preach on divorce when you've been divorced as a person, as a pastor? So I'm a woman, divorce, and clergy. Strike. Right? So again, I'm arguing with God and say, what am I going to say and what am I going to do? And, you know, here's part of his answer is be honest. When I was struggling in a marriage of 19 years, we'd been in counseling, and I really knew that divorce was wrong. One should stay married. We vowed together for eternity. But I knew that staying in this marriage wasn't going to be healthy and wasn't going to be best for what my children would have to endure or continue to endure. So after 19 years of marriage, I thought, I can't do this anymore. And I really struggled. I wasn't a pastor at the time, but I was a Christian. I was on staff at a church as a Christian education director. How are they going to see me now? This is a sin. This is scriptural that you should not divorce, but you should be with your spouse forever. I couldn't do it. I could no longer be in the situation that I was in. And I prayed fervently and I prayed hard. God, what do I do? Now, the disciples here were asking God, you know, we've been doing this lesson. Jesus teaches and the disciples question. Jesus teaches and the disciples question. Are we any different? No. We kind of do the same thing. Jesus teaches us through the scripture, and we ask, right? So in asking this, in asking Jesus, what am I supposed to do? It was kind of like what the disciples were saying. Can someone divorce? And Jesus asked this question, well, what was Moses' law? What did he command? And they knew that one right off the bat. Well, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. We got to realize, though, that there is man's law and there is God's law. correct? And so Moses said the person could get a divorce, but did you hear the other part of it? Send her away. As a woman, I get offended easily. Because in that day and time, in that culture, women were nothing. And also, if they did get a divorce, they would have nothing. Today, we can go to court and we can fight. And we can be nasty if we want. But that's not what God wants us to do. And that's not what he wanted them to do. He didn't want women to also be sent away. He wanted them to be taken care of. And so his response of, that's because Moses wrote that law because of your heart. Your heart is hardened. You don't want to work on something that is a relational peace that God wants us to work on. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, all right, I'm already starting to sweat up here. God, I worked at it. I went to counseling. I did what I thought I could do, and I can't do it anymore. And every time this scripture comes up, it makes me uncomfortable. It's like a jab in the heart once again. So I divorced. 15 years on my own, because it says here, even later in the scripture, that, you know, if you marry another man, then you commit adultery. Ugh, Lord, really? But Jim came along. We married. We're happily married. 7, 8 years this January. Whatever that number is. 7, I guess. See, the women forget too, just to let you know. But I struggle with this, and we've had that conversation of, are we sinning? Well, who in here has ever told a lie? Anybody? Everybody? You know, that's a sin. In God's eye, a sin is a sin is a sin is a sin. People's eyes, we put on this label of which sin is the greatest. But not in God's eyes. If sin is a sin is a sin is a sin. And shortly, we are going to take Holy Communion today on this World Communion Sunday. And we remember that Jesus Christ went to the cross, died for us for our sins, that we may be in relationship, justified to him, made right to our Lord Jesus Christ because of his relationship, because of his death, because he took our sin and we have nailed it to the cross. And every time we sin, we nail that nail into the life of Jesus. So is it wrong? Yes. But does God allow people to get a divorce? And the answer is yes. It is permitted. It's not encouraged. It is permitted. And it's permitted on several reasons. If they've been unfaithful, if they're abusive. And this question comes up to pastors a lot of time. People will come in and say, you know, I'm being abused and I don't want to leave my husband because it's not supposed. God does not want us to stay in a relationship that is abusive. Amen? None of us are to have an adulterous situation. None of us. But it happens. And those are two ways that permission is granted. I get it that, you know, I was reading a story as I'm looking at commentaries and looking up things, that this one couple was going to get married and the guy was kind of flippant about it. Well, if it doesn't work out, we'll just get a divorce. That's the heart that Jesus doesn't want. It's not about the one couple that struggles over and over and over, and they're trying to do the best they can, and it just isn't working, especially with 19 years of marriage. It's not the best thing to do is get a divorce, but God also wants us to be happy. The thing is, He wants our heart to be in relationship with Him. It's about that relationship with one another, and we should forgive our partners, our spouses, when we do get a divorce. We should not hold a grudge. Amen? For a long time, I'm going to tell you as a pastor, I held a grudge. Remember last week's lesson was don't whine? I whined. Just be faithful here. I just, you know, truthful. I whined. But many years later, I forgave my husband and moved on because I wanted to be right with our Lord. That was the most important piece for me, is to be right with God. And so that's what He's talking about here with the heart. He wants each one of us to have a good relationship with Him. All of us are sinners. All of us have sinned. So whether it's a divorce, whether it's a lie, whether it's murder, whether it's whatever, a sin is a sin is a sin is a sin. And God died through His Son, Jesus Christ, for us that we may be forgiven. Amen. And then I'm glad He goes on to the other part of this scripture that is a little more happier. Let the little children come to me. Whew. I like that part. And again, we want our children here, and today we don't have as many here. Normally we're kind of packed over here, and we have lots of children, but we should never hinder them to come. But we also have to remember, we're all children of all ages, so we should never hinder anyone else in their journey with Jesus Christ. Amen? Never have a stumbling block. So, whew. I think I've worried about that for a week. I don't want to preach this, Lord. And I don't want you to hear me say divorce is right or wrong. You need to work at it. You need to do what you can do to save a marriage. But you're not going to go to hell if you get a divorce. But what you need to do is make sure that that relationship is not a grudge or a hatred, but one that you can still care and forgive the other person. I don't know who here may be worrying about this. I don't know. I know probably some of you sitting out here have gone through the same thing. It isn't an easy subject. But we all need to remember that God loves each one of us because each one of us are His children. And each one of us, He wants us as children of all ages to come to Him, and He will bless us. He loves us. He loves us so much. God loves us so much. He gave us His Son to die on the cross, that we can have a communion with Him and commune with Him. I'm looking for my sanitizer, sorry. For you see, God gave us His Son to die and to rise again, but on that night before He was betrayed, He sat with His disciples and taught them once again, taking the bread and breaking it. And saying, this is my body broken for you. And every time you partake of it, remember me. And after the supper was over, He took the cup. And He gave thanks and He blessed it. And He said, this is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Everybody sins. For all of you. It's a new covenant. It's a new day. You are forgiven. And every time we partake together, Remember what Jesus has done for you. So this morning is World Communion. We're going to partake in a different way. The ushers will come forward in just a minute, and they will pass the bread down. You will take a piece of bread and hold it until everyone has had a piece of bread. And as Holy Communion, we will all partake together. Once the bread is taken, then we will have the cup passed, and everybody will take a cup and hold it. And then we will all take the juice together, remembering Christ's bloodshed for us. As we sit in our pews this morning, we have some music, and I don't think it's on the screen. Is it on the screen, guys? We have two songs. Yes, it is on the screen. You may just sit there and worship, thinking about what God has done for you. Because whether it's divorce, whether it's a lie, whether it's whatever sin you committed, know that when we come together and we take this Holy Communion, we are forgiven. But you also must ask for that forgiveness. Let us pray. Oh, Holy God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And he makes it possible for us as sinners to be redeemed, to be restored, and to be renewed. That we can come together remembering what you have done for us in the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Renew us, Lord, in this moment, this holy moment of the sacrament of communion. That we can become like a child and enter into your kingdom. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Would the ushers please come forward? Yeah, you're going to take it. Going to start singing now. Okay. Let us break. Christ's body broken for you. Take, eat, and remember. The blood of Christ shed for you. Drink and remember what he's done for you. We will be passing the plates back as we sing, or as we come before our ushers. So take those, and if you can just kind of pass them back, as the ushers are going to now try to take up the offering as well. So just start those somewhere. We will work this out. It's kind of a new way of doing things. So Let us prepare our hearts for our morning offering. Please stand. Lord, you have died for us, yet you rose again, giving us hope and promise of eternal life. We have been provided for by you, and now out of your goodness and out of our love for you, we respond back with our offering. Please accept it and accept us, that we will continue to be your hands and feet here on earth and further the kingdom, bringing others to salvation, to know you, that they too may have hope and promise of eternity. In the name of Jesus the Christ, amen. So remain standing for our closing hymn, When Love is Found. Do they know this one? Okay, 643. Okay, here we go.
Thank you.
familiar tune may be new words, that we can remember what Jesus Christ has done for us on this World Communion Day, to be able to go out and let his light shine in and through you in a world that can be dark and full of anger and evil. Let your light shine. Be his hands and feet. And I forgot to mention, at 1 o'clock tomorrow, I will not be here because I will be in Lansing, but they are praying at the rescue mission at 1 o'clock. Go and surround the mission as it opens up at 5 tomorrow. And if you can't be there, pray at 1 o'clock for these who are in need and are hurting, because we are to be Christ to the world. And we're going to pray for our lunch, even if you're not staying. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for birthday month and potlucks, all the hands that prepared it. And Lord, we remember those less fortunate than us. May we be you to others. And may you bless this food to the nourishment of our body to be your disciple. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, go in God's peace. Amen.